For Illinois Newsroom, I'm Jim Meadows, and here's an interview with Kevin Gaither of Charleston. He's one of four Democratic candidates for the March 17th primary in Illinois' 15th congressional district, which covers much of eastern and southeastern Illinois. Gaither received a little over 29% of the vote when he challenged incumbent Republican John Shimkus in 2018. He's now making his second bid for the office. Kevin Gaither, this is your second run for the 15th district. What do you believe you offered to voters this time?
Well, I've been able to see the growth cycle, but more of the decay cycle across the district. John Shimkus, for 25 years, had an opportunity to push forward the Republican economic agenda, and that's a failing economic agenda. What I have to offer is something very different, a ground-up philosophy of government service, because these communities deserve so much more than what they've been given.
When you talk about an economic agenda, which I guess is different from Mr. Shimkus's, what would the emphasis be on?
A lot of these communities, the main streets have been, the empty storefronts, the infrastructure's, just decayed. Our waterways have not been taken care of for decades. We need to put enormous amounts of resources in taking care of the ones that we have and actually preparing ones for the future. If we're going to put more manufacturing into the district, you have to actually build water capacity. Well, we haven't put any of that kind of thought into this from the government side. Nobody's even talking about this.
What you're thinking of are a lot of infrastructure needs in the district that need to be addressed.
Absolutely.
And that's something that can be done from the level of Congress?
Absolutely. And instead, we're going in the exact opposite direction with where Republicans and President Trump are going. We're actually cutting funding for the U.S. Corps of Engineers, and we should be increasing funding. I mean, we need 500-year flood walls. You see the flooding that's been going on the last couple of weeks across the district. We need to be addressing that on the front end, because this flooding is only going to get worse as the years go on.
Well, you're in a pretty Republican district. Yeah. It certainly elected John Shimkus for 24 years. Yeah. What sort of inroads do you think a Democratic candidate such as yourself can make in a district like the 15th?
There's a lot of political isolation in a district like this. I mean, it is bright red if you just look at the statistics. But what has the Republican Party done for anybody in this district? Nothing. We have company after company shipping out. And, Republicans will blame Chicago and Mike Madigan for all of it. Those kind of excuses get a little bit old when you're a person like myself. And they should get old for voters, because what we need are solutions, not all these excuses. There's been so many missed opportunities, like LSC that's going to be closing up in Coles County.
We're talking about LSC, the printing plant near Mattoon that's shutting down.
That's right. So here they got massive Trump tax cuts, over the last 3 years. They also did a stock dividends to the tune of $55 million. You're not going to hear that anywhere on the news. I mean, I had to find that out myself by going through their financials. That was in 2018 that they did that. A year later, their stock is worthless, and they're laying off everybody in Coles County. It's over 700 people. Why in the world did they not invest that money from those tax cuts in the business?
And that's also in a business which is just undergoing a lot of changes. Commercial printing has really been impacted by the rise of online media.
Well, true, but it's like, they lost a contract with Meredith Publishing. They missed a deadline because of their broken equipment. And that's because they didn't invest in their company. They didn't invest in their employees. And that's part of this Republican economic model that is failing rural America. When you just give away tons and tons of these tax cuts without any guarantees for workers, investment in the company, investment in America, what you get is companies cashing in all of that, like these stock dividends, massive money just flowing out to all of their stockholders and not one dime to the workers, to the business, and to these communities. And we're left with a empty shell of a factory. Who's going to put in a company there? I pray to God we put in, we have enough people, if we have a person in this position that's going to actually work and find the right company, the right partners to bring somebody in there for people to get good paying jobs. But what's the options? So we don't have broadband internet access. We don't have a lot of infrastructure that is set up for success for a business. And why is that? Because literally we have been robbing American workers and our American communities of the resources to rebuild our roads, rebuild our rails, and rebuild our schools.
Well, we're living in a time of a deep partisan divide between left and right, Democrats and Republicans. As a congressman, how do you work to get things done in Congress in that sort of political atmosphere, which seems to discourage cooperation?
That is a real issue. How do you work across the aisle when we see reality so differently? I think we have to really get into these communities and really listen to what the struggles are. I've seen it firsthand, some of these children growing up in very poor households in some of our communities in the 15th district. It's anywhere between 40 to 60% of the kids in these schools are growing up in poverty. Instead of focusing on how to increase the amount of services that they have, we're taking away food from their parents and from the people around them. You know, what they're actually focusing on in Congress is cutting things like Social Security disability, cutting Social Security, finding ways to eliminate all of these very vital programs that have literally helped people survive and thrive in very difficult times. That's, I think, how you can work across the aisle. People, when they see somebody that is struggling, I think there's some common ground to be had there. I think when people think about welfare, it naturally divides, right? But when somebody sees somebody suffering, it changes the equation. So I think we need to be meeting people more face-to-face.
But you think there is a path that lawmakers from opposite sides can come together to address these issues?
You gosh darn hope so, because these issues are only getting worse. So I do think there's ways that we can work together, but we have to stop seeing each other as the enemy.
What are your priorities when it comes to what Congress should be doing about the nation's healthcare system?
Well, healthcare is my top priority. It is absolutely essential that we reform the current system because it's not working for everybody. Out-of-pocket expenses, if you have healthcare coverage, can be astronomical. So what we have to be doing is first tackling prescription drug reform, and that is a bipartisan issue, but yet we can't get it through Congress. And why is that? There's a bill sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk right now. All he has to do is put it on the floor of the Senate and get it on the desk of President Trump, and Trump sign it. Why won't he do it? Well, you have to ask him. Medicare for All is a big issue in our party. I personally think Bernie Sanders' plan is an ambition.
So that's not a plan you can support at this time?
Not in its current form, no. He doesn't even have any way to pay for it. 15% of Americans are covered under Medicare, and we'll be taking that system and expanding it all the way to 100%. There's just no way that the government systems, which are antiquated computer systems, can handle that. We have to upgrade all those, period, by themselves.
Well, if you're in Congress in 2021, what could voters expect you to be working towards?
Well, I'd be doing the information upgrades immediately. If we upgraded Social Security, Medicare, and all that, your relationship with those programs would improve immediately. The backlog on some of these programs, the way that they communicate with healthcare providers, it should be working a lot smoother. And that would save a whole bunch of money down the road. We also need to be reining in some of the administrative costs on insurance companies while we're waiting around for all of these reforms to take effect. I mean, if you look at hospital administrative costs, they're through the roof.
15th District, a heavily agricultural district. Yeah. What are your priorities for farm policy, for helping farmers in the district in Congress?
Well, I mean, it's been a rough couple years. Soybean and corn production went down about 20% last year. The minute that they signed the this alleged Chinese trade deal, which is really not a deal at all.
The phase one treaty?
Yeah. I mean, it was basically China wins. all the tariffs stay in place, and they say that they're going to buy our goods. And you know, and I'm sure they're going to get some soybeans and stuff from us at some point. The virus scare in China is going to actually make it so that they can't get any of our soybeans for a while. And soybeans, you know, we haven't been moving out of here. The grain side of ag in Illinois is we have a glut of it. We need to be diversifying. I really think industrial hemp is a real opportunity. You can make almost anything out of hemp, paper, wood, concrete, fiberglass, and we should be making all that stuff right here. We just have a real education curve and need to inject a whole bunch of production capacity.
Is there a role for Congress in the development of something like that?
Absolutely. If you look across the world, every single country heavily subsidizes their ag sector, and we should, you know, inject a whole bunch of investment, you know, on the front end to get this jump started. And I think that would be pretty easy to collaborate. Yeah.
You mentioned the U.S.-China trade dispute. What would you be pushing for in Congress as far as our trade relations with China?
Basically, I think President Trump is trying to do something good there. He's just going about it in a, you know, terrible fashion. I mean, we've gotten screwed. We've done this for, what, 2-3 years, and we have nothing to show for it. All we've done is punished Americans with tariffs because they're the ones paying for them. What we should be doing is ending this on a successful front. We have to stop the Chinese from stealing our intellectual property.
Is there something that you think Congress can do to add to progress in the whole trade dispute?
We can stop the president from adding tariffs on goods just willy-nilly. Congress should get back to becoming an equal branch. I mean, this out-of-control executive branch, it doesn't matter who the president is, has got to stop. I mean, this is probably the biggest threat to our democracy I've seen. The reliance on executive power, the reliance on executive privilege to hide what you're doing, the legislative branch has to step up to the plate. I think a lot of the people that are in the House and the Senate, they don't really understand a lot of these problems from the standpoint of their constituents. They should go and listen to farmers and really hear what's happening. I wish President Trump would do that.
Wanted to ask you about the economy and where you think it is right now. What's your take on the economy as you see it in the 15th District? What can Congress do to help it along?
Well, I mean, you know, if you just look at unemployment ratings, I mean, we're going gangbusters. If you look at the stock markets, great. We have created a stock bubble with the tax breaks. I mean, it's clear that's where all the tax breaks went. They went right into the stock markets. It was a massive giveaway, and American workers left behind again. These rural communities left behind. Obviously, I don't think the economy is good. If you go into any one of these communities and you say it is a roaring economy, I would hope that they laugh your butt right out of town, because it's disrespectful. But yet, they often agree with the president. You know, so many people were working 2-3 jobs. That's not a great economy. People should be able to work and enjoy their lives. That's how it used to be in this country. You used to be able to work hard and be able to enjoy your life. That hasn't happened in America in a long time, probably starting when I was in grade school. The American dreams just started to die. We watched all these companies leave. You know, everybody can blame NAFTA. These companies started to leave and you know, diminish workers and benefits and pay and all that stuff long before NAFTA was passed. And nobody did anything about it. Congress sat there and did not pass any laws to stop companies from sending jobs overseas.
So what's a practical solution in Congress to address those sort of things, and can they make for a stronger economy?
We have to start coming up with some bipartisan solutions for this stuff. It can't be one party. And until, like, the parties start working together, you know, what are you going to do? Republicans have got to learn this trickle-down stuff. Massive tax cuts don't work. Now, what they do is they make all these atmospherics for the economy look great, right? You know, the stock market's the highest it's ever been. You know, but wages were supposed to go up. And how in the world do we have the lowest unemployment rate and we have dirt wages. The only reason wages are increasing in Illinois is because we increased the minimum wage. Thank God for that. The fact that the national minimum wage is $3 more than it was when I was a high schooler in the 90s is about as disrespectful to reason as I can imagine.
So would you be pushing, for instance, for an increase in the federal minimum wage?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have to do that. Why in the world is it $7.25? Who in their right mind can imagine a job that you work 40 hours a week, $7.25, and that being enough to pay for anything? You know, that's the thing. We have not been respecting workers in this country, and that's what we have to start doing.
And finally, can you talk to me about another issue that would be a priority to you if you were elected to Congress?
There's a lot of priorities, but I say the top one is like to begin respecting each other. You do that by setting up something that people haven't seen, where they can literally learn how the government works. You know, we have a broken government because people don't understand how it works. You know, when I was a kid, I went over to Booth Library at EIU and read congressional documents for fun. You know, everybody thought I was crazy, but I really wanted to understand where money came from for NASA because I was so interested in the space program. And I tell you, it was exciting, you know, reading, you know, these committee hearings. What we need to do is to have a re-education, really, of how government works. You know, there are a lot of people that are Second Amendment enthusiasts, right? And I'm a Second Amendment supporter. I'm a First Amendment supporter. I'm an entire U.S. Constitution supporter. And I can't tell you how many people I know that support the Second Amendment enthusiastically and have never read one Supreme Court opinion that's about the Second Amendment. Now, I think there is a disconnect there between understanding how our government works and how our rights are so important and linking those all together. This is a 20, 30-year process to bring all of us back together. That's my top priority, is to find ways to reconnect us as people. And I do think there are ways that we can do that. And it starts in the education system, which needs a lot of help. Teachers need a lot of support. And families do too.
Kevin Gaither, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Yes, thank you.